worship with a time of offering. You guys may be seated. I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. God, we thank you for the many blessings. God, we thank you for your provision in providing the means to send a team to the Philippines. So we pray now, God, as we give these gifts back to you in worship, God, would you multiply them? Would you multiply both our ability to give and where the money goes in expanding your kingdom? Jesus, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have some exciting announcements for you this morning. The first of which is we will be having a Sandlot Sunday coming up here on August 14th. So for those of you who are not aware, Sandlot Sunday is, it takes place at Cherry Valley Elementary, which is a couple blocks that way. They have a playground there and a big open field, and we like to just come, prepare a bunch of games, bring a lunch, and it's a time of just fellowship together. So it will be after this service on the 14th, we'll all head over there and just have a blast hanging out. And our goal is we wanted to get some time this summer to get together as a family, as a church family, before kind of the school and fall craziness starts. So join us for that. Also, baptism. If you are interested in learning more about baptism or being baptized, you can fill out a connection card. It's on the back of the bulletin. There's a detachable piece. It's okay. They're supposed to be doing this. So, and you can just turn that into the basket or give it to Susan in the back, and we'll contact you about baptism. It's a great opportunity. I know some of you guys are really serious and you want to wait till the winter cold months to prove your dedication, but you can actually get baptized in the summer in the warm weather. The pastors will participate in that as well. Just thought I'd throw that plug out there. Also, we have a newcomers breakfast on August 21st at 9 a.m. We call it the newcomer, or church membership class, but really it's open to anyone who wants to know more about Adventure. So even if you've been coming to Adventure for a while, maybe you have some questions or you'd like to learn more about what is membership, why we do it, what are the beliefs and culture of the church, this is a great opportunity. We encourage you to join us for that. Also, it's not quite as important for you guys, but on August 7th, we'll be moving our first service time, which is normally at 8:45, to 9 a.m. So it's a 15-minute change, and maybe that will be enough to prompt some of you to attend that service. Maybe not, but we'll see. We're going to give it a shot. But there is more room in there, so if you're feeling kind of stuffy and hot, that's a solution for you. Also, the youth mission team, they did something called open-air evangelism often. And basically, the goal was they would go into plazas or just different areas, parks, and they would share the gospel during their time in the Philippines. And one of the best ways to do that, because even though in the Philippines they speak English, there are other languages, and sometimes there's some language barriers that are difficult to cross. So one of the best ways to do that was they would do a drama that they're going to perform for you now. This drama has no words. It's put to music, but it has no words. But it paints a powerful picture of the transformative work of Jesus Christ from all the way from the beginning at creation to what he's done on the cross and the life we have available to us after. That being said, there are some intense themes. And so if you have younger children and you're worried about experiencing some of that, Robin is in the back, and she is willing to hang out with your kids just for this portion, the drama. It's going to take a few minutes, and then she'll bring them back in. So if you have kids that you want to send them out, they can hang out with Robin in the back just for a couple minutes as we watch this drama. So I'd love to present to you the 2016 Philippines Mission Team. Enjoy.
I need to hear you. that's leading me to the place where I find peace again.
Well done, guys. Feel free to have a seat. So they'll be back up in a minute. They're going to share some stories with you about their time in the Philippines. Before we do that, though, hello. My name's Garrett. I'm the senior high youth pastor here at Adventure. And myself and a team of five other leaders decided that it was a good idea for us and a bunch of high schoolers to try and travel across the ocean. And we made it back all in one piece. There's a kid with a broken arm, but he broke it before he came, so it's cool. So if you have your Bibles today, turn it to John 15, verses 5 through 8. I don't have a slide for you, so if you need to share with a neighbor, feel free. We're going to be spending some time in John today, but before that, sorry, I'm sick, so if you hear me making weird sounds, it's okay. But I want to explain a little bit about the Lifehouse drama. And the reason that we take that one overseas so often, we've done it before on different mission trips, is because, as BJ pointed out, since there's no language, like an actual speaking language in it, it transcends cultures. And it doesn't matter if you're Filipino or American or African or Ethiopian or whatever. You can see by the drama that the message of the gospel is being portrayed. And the way that this drama does it is actually really really clear and really concise. It starts with God, and he creates mankind. And then very quickly you see that these other things start calling out for our attention, right? It starts with a bad relationship, then moves to greed, then goes to addiction, and eventually mankind is brought to a place of wanting to end it all. And what we see is that when humanity decides to turn back to God, those very things that once offered life now keep us from returning. You know, the picture of Paris running back towards Bear and the rest of the students pulling her back. For some of us, that struggle feels very real. And So the good news is, the end of the drama, obviously, Christ dies for us, and with that, rises 3 days later, and then separates us from all of those sins, all the addictions, all the pain, all the mistakes, literally steps in between us and them, and eventually defeats them, and now we have the opportunity to live with God again. That's a pretty complicated message if you can't speak it out. So the Lifehouse drama is a great tool, and a great tool that our students use to share God's good news with the world. And they've got pretty good at it, right? They did it a lot. So what I'd like to do is just kind of give you guys some backstory and some context to the places that we went, the things that we did. So as the students come up and share their stories, you're, you know, tracking a little bit. You understand, you know, where exactly the basketball court was. So one of the first things we did was we met with Wes and Judy Robbie. They started an organization in 2010 called Fruit Bears. In the Philippines, that organization is called Bear Much Fruit. Just because of title reasons. But they decided that, followed the Lord. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, 50-50. But they went along with God and started a ministry that went and found kids with disabilities high in the hills of the Philippines, whether physical, as in, like, you know, physical handicaps, or mental handicaps, such as deafness, blindness, you know, education, all that sort of stuff, and they would create a way for them to get the surgeries that they needed, but also the education. The poverty in Negros is caused from lack of education. So, Wes and Judy have started this crazy adventure with God, invited us into it, and I really hope that through the stories the kids share that you understand exactly the work that God is doing in the Philippines. So, one of the first things we did is we wanted our kids to experience a new world, so we took them to the market, bartering for fruit and vegetables, going into the meat market. You know, dead fish and goat heads are great for any kid. And they got to experience, you know, this is what people who don't have Safeway do to buy food. Along with that, we went to the Fruit Bearer's office. We met their staff, which includes pastors Jerry and Jade, two social workers, Glenn and Joy, and then an intern named Angus, who's this big, 6'3 guy from Montana. And the Philippines crack up because his name means beef. So we went to a town called San Jose and built a basketball court. The original plan was to build a church, but some zoning and title mix-ups made that hard, so we built a basketball court instead. We visited three elementary schools, West City Elementary, Mabinai Elementary, and Tan High Elementary. The kids led two church services and a Bible study. They did the program, they did their drama, and shared their testimonies. And the sweet part is we were actually able to go through every kid's testimony. They all did a great job. And then a couple leader testimonies as well on our trip. One of the last things we did was open-air evangelism on the boulevard. So we just went to a public square. It's where all the tourists hang out, but also where the Filipinos go to chill. And just invited people to see our drama, explained it, and sent the kids out to go tell them about Christ. We ended our trip with a couple days at a resort that Wes and Judy gifted to us as a thank you. We got time to snorkel and have bonfires. And by bonfires, I mean bags with candles in them. But Zach did manage to light one on fire, so that was, we got what we could out of that. So hopefully with that information, as the kids tell their stories, you can track with us a little bit, feel more like you were there. I'd like to read just real quick the passage from John. So John 15, verses 5 through 8, read like this. I am the vine, and you are the branches. This is Jesus speaking. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So a really big aspect to doing ministry, going on missions trip, is this aspect of staying connected to Christ. And the reason that Christ uses this vine branch language is because grapes, the way that the vine works is that if the branches aren't connected to that main vine, grapes won't produce. It's just kind of how it works. So he uses that picture as an example for us. What I want to do is I want to do a little pro-con list of the pros of staying connected to Christ and the cons of not. So let's look back at John 15 here. Pro number one, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Fair enough. Second, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Third, this glorifies my Father and shows to the world that you are my disciples. Three good steps right there. Makes sense, nice and easy. Cons, apart from me, you can do nothing. Any questions? So, okay. Fair enough, Jesus. I hear what you're saying. Wes and Judy were great examples of this concept for us. Everywhere that they went, and they've done a lot, and they've gone to a lot of places, but they are so careful to make sure the Filipinos understand that the gifts and the provision and the things that are built are not from fruit bearers, they're from the Lord. This means, like, they don't have their logo plastered all over the place, they don't do a lot of branding in the Philippines. They don't, because it's not fruit bearers that's providing for these people. It's the Lord through fruit bearers. Wes told so many stories about the things he wanted to do, the plans that he had, and the Lord would come to him and say, Wes, that's your plan, and it's not mine. So Wes had two options. He either continue and eventually it'd fall apart, Or he would say, okay, Lord, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. And the Lord kept saying, keep doing what you're doing and do more of it. It's working. Fruit Bearers Organization, if you were an outsider, you've never heard of Fruit Bearers, never met Wes and Judy, and you just were able to look at like a spreadsheet of the organization, you would see that very clearly they live up to their name. They're bearing fruit all over the place. Fruit Bearers currently ministers to over 600 people daily. They support 125 families with monthly gifts, and that number grows pretty quickly. On top of that, that doesn't include any special house building projects or surgeries or family visits or anything like that. They have connections with 38 different schools. And while Negros is a pretty big island, like compared to the other Philippine islands, it's a small piece of land. And so the fact that Wes and Judy are in 38 schools is pretty amazing because they have a map in their office. And they're on one half of the province is Negros Oriental, where we went. And on that map is a bunch of little fruit bearer pins of everywhere that they have connections with, every school. And there's not a lot of like extra room left on that map. So it really is incredible to see the expansion and the multiplication that the Lord has brought to fruit bearers. If we go back to the scriptures, and it says, Jesus says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What I've learned from Wes and Judy, what I've learned from going on this trip, is that it's the results of the work that God has set before us that proves to the world who we belong to. And that fact glorifies God. The fact that the world can look at us and say, to look at an organization like Fruit Bearers and say, wow, something that they're doing is working to change lives. That fact alone glorifies God. At this point, I'd like to invite our students up. Let's have three of you guys come up. How about Paris, Bear, and Elliot? Coming up, guys. So the way that this is going to work, in youth group we call it fishbowl. What that means is as a student shares and finishes, they'll hop down, and then another student will hop up and fill their place. So we're going to do that until we run out of stories, or until our time's up, whichever comes first. So Elliot, the question is for all the kids sharing in service today is, tell us a story about something that you saw God doing, whether in yourself or with the people that you met, and one thing that you've brought back as a result of this trip. And I don't mean like a nice tan or anything like that.
I think the biggest thing that I saw was just how God lined everything up for us. Like, airports went pretty flawlessly, and like we were supposed to build a church, but then we couldn't, and so we had a very similar project to do. It's helped that community, and then just like unintentional things, like with the street evangelism, we explained it in English on the microphone, which I thought might not be a good idea, because many of them might not speak English. But then, when me and Spencer went out to talk to people, the family we talked to said their youngest daughter only spoke English, and so she wouldn't have been able to understand had we explained it in their language. So just that kind of thing was really cool. And then I think the thing that I'm bringing back is just an appreciation of how much we are blessed to live in this country, like with different people's testimonies and just how they don't have very much. Like some families are living off of the equivalent of about $10 a month to feed 4 or 5 people. And we complain that our coffee's too cold. So, there you go.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, man.
So for me, I think the biggest thing was when we came together as a team, seeing the kingdom of God brought to the people in the Philippines and how simple tasks really blessed the people there, especially when we went to the schools, just spending time with them and doing a simple thing like playing soccer for a couple minutes was just such a huge blessing to them. And that was really cool to see as us all coming together. And the biggest thing I brought back was the night of the evangelism. For me, it was how rewarding in the end listening to God is, because there was this girl I had talked to, and I just totally felt drawn to her, and she opened up her heart to me, and it was amazing. And then a couple minutes later, Pastor Jade came in, and she accepted the Lord. So that was really cool to see. So the thing I'm bringing back is definitely how great God is and just listening to him and everything he says, just to do it. Go do what he says, because it's just incredible what you'll find.
Thank you, Paris.
For me, I think that it was really cool just seeing our team come together, and a lot of us actually didn't know each other super well, and so that was really cool going over there and seeing that grow. Also, just a story that I had. We were on a bus, like a crowded bus going to somewhere.
Was it on the way there or the way back?
The way back.
Yeah, that was going to Tan High.
Yeah, we're going to Tan High, like a school for the deaf kids. And there was this guy on the bus, and he was super friendly and nice, and he had, like, invited some other people, Americans from our group, to sit by them, but they were kind of like, But me and Zach were like, sure, we'll sit by you. And so he was talking with us and stuff. I think he was about, like, 40 or 50, and it was really cool to just see, like, how much joy me and Zach brought to him, and just, he probably really remembers that day that we just started talking to him, and so that was cool. I thought it was funny, though, because he was talking with us, and Zach had tapped Abby on the head just to show her something, like, out the window. I don't even know what he was showing her. And so somehow we ended up talking. He got to talking about money and how money is very important, and you need money to get food. You need money for this and that and for your family, and then he goes, and you need money for your girlfriend so you can buy her nice things. And he points at Abby. that was pretty funny because... And so Zach just did his smile thing and like, there, don't look at me. So that was cool. I think what I'm bringing back from the trip that I got a lot of is like... not being afraid to be, like, do stuff not in a group, like, by myself. And it was good to, like, go as a group to the Philippines because I'm more comfortable in groups. I can do things in groups. I'm not as afraid. But when it comes to, like, individual things, like sharing my testimony at the Bible study they had, things like that, I'm not super comfortable doing those things, and like the evangelism, that stuff kind of makes me nervous. I don't really want to step out and do that, but I was able to kind of open myself up to that and kind of break that bubble and talk to random strangers when we're doing evangelism, and so I think that was good for me, and I feel more solid in my faith now and know what I believe in, so, yeah.
Thanks, Bear. Thanks for sharing that.
So I think the times I saw God moving the most was pretty much every single time that we did the skit. Like, the first time you could tell that people didn't really understand, or, like, they were trying to, and, like, the deaf kids, like, they were trying to, but they were just sort of, like, not entirely engaged to it. But then, like, we would explain it, and then, like, the second time we did it, like, you could tell they understood, and that was super cool. Because, like, the language barrier thing was, like, really sort of hard, but it was really nice. For the second one, seeing, like, their heart for God, like, just, like, they're so far away, and they've got a completely different culture, and they're just so different from us. It was really cool, like, seeing them, like, have, like, the same heart. Like, God says he gives us a new heart, and like, you could tell that they had that heart. It was really cool seeing them, like, worship and pray. And it was, like, so cool that they're, like, so far away, but they're praying all to the same God. And it was, I don't know, it really impacted me, I guess.
Thanks, Sarah.
Probably the biggest thing for me was just seeing how God was moving there, and I guess it was a lot clearer there than here. We just take everything for granted, but it's really God doing every little thing, and it's really incredible to see how he answers prayers. And yeah, while we're there, just kind of seeing how amazing our God is, just this boy, he was completely blind, and we performed our skit, and it was had a good turnout, but he came up, and we had no idea, but he grabbed the microphone, and he just started singing, and he was completely blind, and he had the most amazing voice ever. I've never heard anybody that good, and it was just a really powerful song, and it was really deep. So even though we couldn't understand what he was really saying because it was in different language, but you could tell that it was really, really powerful. So, but I have to do this for Dan. We were working on the basketball court, and we're digging up dirt with some, or loosening up dirt with some pickaxes, and Dan is just about to swing the pickaxe, and I come up, and we're all, like, dripping sweat, and I got there a little late, so I didn't have a sweat rag, and I come up, and I'm like, I forgot my banana. And then I look at him like, wait, I meant bandana. And he just died. It was great.
Thanks, Steven.
So for me, I think something that I thought was really cool was when we went to one of the schools, we were working with the deaf kids and we were just playing with them and stuff, but Miss Judy had a really good idea of having us do one-on-one time with like a deaf kid, and so I did that with one of the girls, and even though it was really difficult because I like signing, I can just do the alphabet, and writing, they write in different like English, like they switch words around, so it was really hard, but at the same time, I think it was really cool because the fact that she got the idea that she was special, because when you're deaf, it makes you feel really isolated and alone, and so I thought it was really cool to be able to make her feel special, and I could tell that even though there was that barrier, she was able to feel that, so I was really, like, I loved being able to do that. Something I think that I learned and brought back with me was patience. Before we left, we each got a T-shirt with, like, a fruit on it, and mine was a banana, which was supposed to represent, like, being patient, and I thought that was weird because I am not a patient person at all. And so going on this trip, I think, actually challenged me in that area because being able to trust my leaders that they knew what was going on and that I didn't have to worry about it. Because I'm someone who always likes to know what's going on, what's next, and I think it was really good for me to be able to just let them be in charge and just be able to trust God and trust the people around me. So, yeah.
Thanks, Lydia. Thanks for sharing. First question is, what's the story, or share a story about you seeing God move either in yourself or with other people, and the second one is about something you brought back from the trip.
I think probably the thing that affected me the most, like one of the things when we were over there, was like we went to the churches they had over there, and it kind of like afterwards I was thinking about it, and it was almost a good thing when like it occurred to me, but it was we didn't really change much in the churches we went to because they were already so strong in their belief in God, and like their worship, like they had like about 10 people or like 20 people or something like packed into their little church, and it was about as loud as our church because they just sang so loud, and like their worship was so deep, and like that was just one aspect of like their strong connection with God. And coming home, besides like being grateful for everything we have now, like the money we have, and just something that I'll remember from now on is just like the friendships we made at specifically the church in Mabinai with the deaf kids and like a few specific people of the few specific deaf kids there. And it was also just a funny story, kind of funny. We were one of the things we did at Mabinai was we taught some of the high school deaf kids how to do the skit so they could do it for themselves and do it for the younger kids. And like the lead girl that for ours, who was replacing Paris as like the humanity girl kind of thing, like we're thinking, oh, she's like really catching on. She's really smart. Like she's like really smart for a high schooler. And then we found out afterwards that she was like 26. And she also wasn't even a student. she was just like an older sister of someone who went there. And just like, and she just jumped in. But that's it.
Thanks, Jason.
What impacted me the most on this trip was just seeing God's faithfulness. Like in Pastor Jade and Pastor Jerry's testimonies, it was really cool how they just trusted on God and he lined up everything in their lives that he wanted for them. And like he protected them from the population in the Philippines, which isn't always accepting of Christians. And sometimes like they tried to kill the pastors, but God protected them. And also seeing like how much of an impact Fruit Bearers has had over there because of Wes and Judy's trusting in God. Like they've had so much of an impact, and seeing it firsthand was really cool. Something that I've brought back, I think, is like a willingness to follow God's plan, because over there we learned that things don't always go the way you're expecting, but God has better things in store, like with building the basketball court, how it impacted the community in a way that we weren't even expecting. So,
thanks for sharing, Ben. Yeah, so one of my favorite moments from the trip actually involves Ben, and he doesn't know this, but Ben, when you first came into youth ministry, BJ was the youth pastor, right? You were in junior high at the time? Yeah. Ben was always the kid who, like, we could never get to say anything in small groups, and BJ, you know, put years of prayer and pursuit into Ben, and when I got here, I did the same thing, and we spent years praying for that. And on the trip, one of my favorite moments was to see Ben stand in front of a group of Filipinos and tell them out loud with his words that God was his savior, and that and to share stories of what God had done for him, and to see the Filipinos react and say amen and respond to the words that Ben was bringing. And I had two reactions. The first one was like, yes, victory! It worked! And the second one was just immensely, immensely proud of Ben for sharing the way that he did. So definitely one of my highs from the trip. We've got a couple extra moments here, so I want to invite Abby and Kelsey up to share some stories. So,
hi. So, wasn't exactly expecting that. One second.
I definitely told you I was going to do this.
I know, but then I was watching the time, and I got my time except. So, I was like, oh, we're fine. So, just a second. Okay. So, probably the biggest moment for me was, so when I was about 13 years old, Wes and Judy started this ministry. And they were sharing up here about the kids, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to sponsor one of them. And so I did, and he had blessed me with a babysitting job, and it like wasn't not. It's like $35 a month to sponsor the kids, and so it wasn't that big of a deal, and so I did it, and I felt like he was leading me to this one kid, which didn't make any sense. He was 22 years old, he was blind, but I couldn't like shake the feeling that this was the one that God wanted me to sponsor. And so I went to Wes, and I was like, Wes, is this weird? I'm a 13-year-old girl. Like, there's no way he's going to want, like, to be sponsored by a 13-year-old girl. That's, like, weird. And Wes was like, no, that sounds like God. Like, so go for it. So I did it. And I ended up having to stop. But on the trip, I ended up getting to go to his village and seeing the church that Wes said had sprung up because they went to visit him because of my sponsorship. And to me, that was huge because, like, in my head, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, I was like, oh, I'm just doing one little thing that God asked me to do. And he ended up using it to start a church and bring people to Christ. And I found out that Michael's whole family, there were, like, 9 of them, ended up getting baptized and coming to Christ. And so for me, that was just huge, seeing how God uses one tiny little act of obedience, and then he spreads it like wildfire.
Thank you. Do you have any, like, lessons or anything that you brought back, other than what you just said?
I think that's it. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thanks, Abby.
So I just wanted to elaborate really quick on the basketball court. So that might kind of sound like something that's kind of silly to build and spend a lot of time on and money and whatever. But actually what it is it's a livelihood for them, because what they do is they grow corn and they dry coconuts, and that's what they sell in order to make money in their village. And this village is way up in the mountains, and so they have really no way of making money. And they literally don't have any place to dry. It's on a mountainside, so there's no place to dry any of that on their mountainside. So if it rains, I mean, there's no way for it to dry out. And so they can now use that as a basketball court, and it's really the only place that the kids have to play. So it was actually really cool that it got swapped from a church to doing that. And so that, just to elaborate so you guys understand that. The biggest thing God did for me over there was kind of what Abby was saying. It's just like, say yes to that little small voice inside of you when he tells you to do something, because he multiplies it. And so first day in Mabini, which was one of the schools we went to, you'll see a bunch of pictures of a little kid there named John. And when I first saw him, it was just like this immediate, like, God's like, oh, you need to help this boy. And I had no idea if Wes and Judy already had a sponsorship for him or if he was being helped at all. And he was deaf and blind in one eye and only 7 years old. And so I was like, oh, they probably already have it taken care of. But I went and asked Judy and obeyed the Lord anyways. And she said, oh, I don't think we know him at all. Like, I think this is the first time any of us have ever met him. And the teachers were telling the fruit bearer staff, like, this kid is one that needs sponsorship and needs help. So I asked Judy, and she asked her social worker to go up and talk to his family. And they found out that his entire family of 5 was living on the equivalent of about $10 a month. Including with his disabilities and transportation to get him to school, because they lived about half an hour away by truck. So they usually take motorcycles, which is even slower. So that's expensive for them. So it was so cool, because it's just like God telling me, putting it on my heart. And so this confirmation that I can hear his voice and that he wants me to team up with him, and that he's called me into that. And so we were able to help him, and just touched my heart a lot. So
thank you. Yeah, so Kelsey put the slideshow together that you're about to see, so there's a lot of pictures of little John in there, so so you'll be able to see that. But thank you for sharing, Abby. Kelsey, you can sit down now. So we have a slideshow from our trip, just sharing some pictures and visual stories from our time. So I hope you, I hope you enjoy that. So go ahead, guys.
not winning. It's like 25 the lives that you bust out of prison. Something's in the air, something's in the air. It's like that feeling when you're just about to kill it. Take your last shot, you know you're gonna hit it. Something's in the air, something's in the air. Whoa. So hard that you knew you wouldn't settle. Hands are in the air, hands are in the air. When they hear you when you thought they wouldn't listen, it's like an anthem that the whole world's singing. Hands are in the air, hands are in the air. Whoa. Shake. If we clap our hands, the walls will break. Yo, so loud, won't forget our names. 'Cause something big is happening. Take this spark and start a fire. Raise this up, we're feeling high. They can't tell us anything. Something big is happening. Something big, I feel it happening. Out of my control. Pushing, pulling, and it's grabbing me. Feel it in my bones.
Harder than a landslide. lose the game, I'm all in. I'm all in for life. And I'm all in. Nothing left to hide. I fall in harder than a landslide has been. A week away from you last night. And now I'm calling, calling out your name even. If I lose the game, I'm all in. I'm all in tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, it really was a great trip in so many ways. So hopefully as time goes on and you're able to trap a high school student in a conversation, you can find out more about it. So in conclusion for today, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Jeff and BJ usually have a little sign off at the end of every sermon, a little just like ending point. And I figured, hey, I'm on staff here. I think I can do that too. So I have one of my own. So in the family of God, we're called to bear much fruit. Welcome to the family. Let's get planting. With that, I know BJ already talked about this, but if you want to hear more stories, in our weekly quiet time packet, we had some kids write some of their stories, some of their testimonies. And so if you want to follow along with more stories, you can grab a packet and do that. Have a good Sunday. You're all dismissed.